In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen.
Amen.
It's sort of an interesting time in the life of not only this parish, but the life in general of Cape Cod. We have some friends at the house visiting, and we called a little restaurant down on the marina. Some of you might know of it. And they said last night they had over 300 reservations. And I thought, well, what's going on? And I realized this may be the last weekend that college students are here, that some rentals, all kinds of stuff. So it's really an amazing time, probably, without us knowing it, of transition. Changes and things happening all around. And so we at St. Mary's are in the same kind of thing. And then I had a totally disrespectful and probably not very smart thought. This is the third Sunday we have been dealing with living bread in the gospel. I preached at Grace in New Bedford 3 weeks ago. We had it last week. We have it this week. It's not on the agenda next week, so you can. But the thought that came to me in conversation with some really amazing theologians that are visiting our house this weekend, I said, you know, I'm worried about moldy bread. You know, if you've had bread around for 3 weeks and haven't done anything with it, it really gets moldy and whatever. And then I thought about it more. That's not necessarily a totally irreverent thought. Because all of us come regularly as we can, receive the Eucharistic presence of Christ. But what do we always do with it? Do we allow it to inspire, enlighten, encourage us for ministry, or does it just sort of sit around in our lives and maybe get molded? So I think that idea, what are we doing with the living bread, is really, really important. But I'm a little scattered, maybe. This morning, another thought that came to me as I was getting ready for Sunday was, you know, I watched Michael Curry preach at the Jonathan Daniels 50th anniversary celebration down in Alabama. Jonathan Daniels was a student at EDS, ATS, way 50-some years ago, and had been down twice. This was his second trip to help with the civil rights movement and voters' registration. And at the time, a sheriff's deputy stepped in and was about to shoot Ruby Sales, a black woman, and Jonathan stepped in front and took the bullet. And so he is now in lesser feats and fasts in our church as one of our saints. So this was the 50th anniversary. So there was a gathering. It looked like 300 or 400 people. Loads of bishops and all kinds of things. But Michael is probably one of the best preachers I've heard. One of the things that I really love about him is he has a wicked, and I mean wicked, sense of humor. And nobody is spared. He was referring to the Bible and saying, you know, look up something in Hebrews. And he turned and said, all of you Episcopalians, that's in the Bible. It's a book. Hebrews is actually near the end. It's after Genesis. So, but it was nice to see that. And it's funny, as you and I, as people laugh, they open themselves to all kinds of energy and grace. And but one of the things he said, he was quoting Harriet Tubman, a wonderful black woman whose ministry was part of the Underground Railroad. And I think it's reported she saved over 300 people. But Harriet's sort of mantra, if you would be keep moving. Don't stop, keep moving. And partly it was a practical thing because keep moving, if you hear dogs, if you see torches at night, if you see anything, and how much people were abused in those days, just keep moving. And I think, I share that because I think you and I at this time in the life of our lives, in the life of St. Mary's, it's a time to keep moving, to keep doing what we do, to stay focused, and to stay regularly participating in the community life receiving the body and blood of Christ to energize us, to keep us going, and to keep us focused. As some of you have received in an email that our rector Libby is taking an extended leave of absence, there are copies of it if some of you don't do email at the back of the church. But I was thinking that this is, it's a really a good thing, a really good thing that she's doing this. We, when I was in Sudbury, David or Judy Naur, who many of you know the Naurs, were on the vestry. And I was sort of in a similar place to where Libby is now. We were in a parish that was just beginning to grow and take a lot was happening. And I had just told the parish that Susan and I were getting a divorce. And it was interesting, the vestry came, not the vestry, two wardens that were good friends and said, Rand, we think it's time for you to take a break. You need to take a break to rest, to relax, and to stay focused. So would you take a break? And of course, I came down to Barnstable in those days and spent a week here, and that's what I needed, a time apart from all the responsibilities to regain footing. And if you think about it, not only is Libby in a similar place, but that is sort of extensive programming that was we're getting ready for this fall. Reading the story and many, many groups, the change in service schedule, that's just a few that were sort of happening. And so for us, not only for Libby, but for us to sort of step back a bit and take a breath, and as this parish and many parishes grow, to really take time, not to let the growth run us, but let the Spirit run us and guide us through this exciting time. And so it's my understanding that Libby will be back with us sometime in early October and ready to help us deal with all this. One of the asides, and probably I would call it a blessing, but I'll get in trouble for that, I'm sure, is that we're not changing the service schedule until after Christmas at the earliest. So it's 5 on Saturday, 8 and 10, which I think will give us a little space too, so we won't be sort of as nervous about something new. Episcopalians don't like newness. They really get you for that, so we won't do it. I think, though, too, another thing that I would say, the lessons, and I normally do not like what Paul says. It's, you know, one of those things. Clergy have a right to not like some of the things in the Bible. But Paul, this time, gives us some wisdom. The very end of the letter to the Ephesians, he says, and pray for me. And pray for me. And I think one of the things that you and I can do in this transition is to pray for Libby and her family, that in this time apart, this time of break, to keep them in our prayers, that they breathe some fresh air, that they have energy and grace, and that we as a parish pray for St. Mary's, that we are doing the same thing, being open, getting some energy and some grace. And so on this transition time, transition Sunday, if you might call it that, if we can sort of realize that's what we're in, acknowledge it, and be prepared to enter into this adventure in a really new and a blessed way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.